thank the Lord that he's always, you know, put sick out in his mouth.
Holly gave him one already.
thank the Lord that he's always doing great things for us. I want to look at the scripture tonight and Jude, I talk about a lot. And I won't be before you long tonight. The blessings of the Lord make us rich and has no sorrow.
Amen.
I was listening to, of late, I've listened to a lot of people, and every time someone comes to me, they tell me about something I heard somebody talking about, and which I think is a good thing when you hear the word of God from whomever you hear it from. And I noticed that a lot of people still are, they love to have people teach to them about faith and about having faith, and they love it when people really go through the steps of having faith and talk to them about. I think several people this week that I talked to, all of them were talking about how they were listening to someone. They were always talking about having faith in God, what faith is, and how to have faith. And I think that's just wonderful. But the truth of it is that when it comes down to it, some point we can tell you all about faith and how to have faith and everything else, but somewhere along the line you just have to have it.
Yes.
And you can listen to all the, because they're, I think, some of the greatest, probably some of the most profound and some of the greatest teachings and people I hear on TV and other places, and they're not wrong, they're in the Lord, and people need to hear it and they teach about it, but I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying, but at some point in time, you just have to say, you just have to have it.
Yes.
You just have to make up your mind. You want to trust God.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, we will need to remind you of your faith every other week.
Yes.
Every few weeks, and you're on it. You know, it's kind of like, and when I look at myself too. You're on this. I'm glad about the grace of God.
Thank you for grace.
And I'm glad that God is not a one stripe God, three stripe God, thousand
be
stripe
out.
God.
Yep. Yes, yes.
You know, 10,000 stripe God.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm glad that God doesn't require us to have faith that is so absolute that it's perfect, like some people would have you to think that. You know, at one point in time, I was coming along, and they were teaching faith almost to the point where if you just think doubt for 1 second, whatever prayer pray went right out the window. You know, and it's one of the problems that I know some people who, one person who keeps reminding me how they love Fred Price, and she says people talked her out of it, whatever, and maybe so, but Fred Price lost me a long time ago when he said that if you pray a prayer, pray for something 100 times, you pray one time in faith and 99 times in unbelief. There was much that the man talked about. He knew the word of God that I went along with, but that one I couldn't stay with him on.
Yeah, that wasn't right.
You know, because I know the Bible talks about persevering in prayer, continuing in prayer. But I want to encourage everyone tonight, at some point in time, you just have to sit down and say to yourself, I'm going to trust God.
Yes, yes.
No matter what happens and no matter what comes. You just got to make your mind, I'm going to trust God. Because as long as you're in the earth, one day the sun will shine all day, and the next day it will rain.
Yes.
And you'll say, well, yeah, there got to be some rain in your life to appreciate the sun and so forth and so on. But if it rains on a day when you really needed sunshine,
yes.
you'll have a problem with that.
Yes.
And if it... you know, if it just so happens that and trials come, we read and watch Manee at the absolute worst possible time.
Yes.
It's God's timing.
Yes.
It is God's timing. We don't decide when things will come that we will need the Lord. God decides, and He's looking to see if your faith is genuine or not. And we talk about without faith it's impossible to please Him. And
yes.
That he that comes to him must first believe that he is, that he exists, that he is God.
Yes.
And we can say it and teach it so profoundly and so resolutely as if to say the people who are teaching it, and maybe their faith is greater than mine, and as if to say the people who are teaching it, you just have absolute faith in God, and you've never at any time, you know, you You've never been like Peter. You walk, you know, when you walk with Jesus, there's no way in the world where you would have wondered whether or not he was risen or not.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you wouldn't have been like them. You would have known that he was going to rise. And, there's no way in the world you wouldn't have wanted him to go to the cross because you would have known that's what God had intended and so forth and so on. You know, and maybe that is you, but that's not me.
Yeah.
And that's not the way that they were, and that's the reason why they're in the Bible, because humans have this soul that has to be continually dealt with and kept under, and that's why it has to be preached to, and it has to be reminded of the way of God and the word of God, and it has to be encouraged. Now, get on up now. Jesus is coming. Get on up. Yeah. Jesus is coming. And I don't know of any way of encouraging people's faith, you know, in God and staring them up to the point where they are to the point where they really want to have faith in God and trust God, than to remind people that Jesus is coming.
Yes, yes.
And the people, and lots of people preach that Jesus is coming back, and they preach it so glibly or so loosely, it just becomes a buzzword. Y'all better get ready. Jesus is coming. And they say it as if they don't believe it themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reality is Jesus is most definitely going to, at some point in time, come back and rapture the church out of the earth. And if it's in it, and it would, and I'm hoping it's in my lifetime, but if it's not, then it'll be in somebody's. Someone will be alive when Jesus comes, and the sooner the better.
Yes, sir.
And with the way things are going right now, I don't see any great improvement in the earth. There are many things that happened in the last couple of years. It's going to never go back to where
it was.
You know where it was, and it wasn't great there.
Yes.
So and much of it, I'm glad it's not going back to. And but there are many other things. One thing that this last regime, like I said, you know, did usher in, they ushered in a period of lawlessness like never before. Yeah. There are people buying guns, flying off the shelves like nothing. And as I ride around Fort Walton Beach, I watch these particular people who have that same notion of they can just do whatever they want. And they've really gotten out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
They run red lights. Mm-hmm. They speed. They really just act like, hey, you know, I do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
This is the time when the saints of God need to be preparing themselves to leave. We need to be, you know, we're talking about having faith in God and trusting in faith. I don't know anything that you can have your faith in greater than Christ's resurrection and Christ's return.
Yes.
Otherwise, in my mind, you just have faith for God to do what you need him to do tomorrow. You have drive-up window faith, you know, kind of, sort of. You just want God, your faith is in God to do what you want done tomorrow, what you want done today, and take care of those. But in the long term, true faith in God is when you really have made up your mind that you're going to dwell with him and live with him forever.
Yeah.
And you're looking and expecting Christ to return. You're doing like they said in Zechariah. You know, when he comes back, they're going to say, "Here's our Savior. We have waited
for him." Yes.
And we have people. We're getting to a point now where we're teaching on how to have faith, and we'll say things like, "Your faith must have action, and your faith must have a plan, and your faith." And I'm not saying your faith doesn't need all those. I'm not refuting any faith teaching person's plan to get you to have faith. But I'm much simpler than that.
Yeah.
Your faith begins with you absolutely believing in Christ's resurrection.
Yes.
And faith absolutely begins in your believing that Jesus Christ is coming back. Because if you don't have the faith to believe that Jesus is coming back, or you don't have the faith, if you're wavering in your faith in the resurrection, your belief in the resurrection, on days that you don't feel like you don't feel like you really believe a whole lot, you might do some of anything. If you're not expecting Jesus to come back, there'll be periods of time when you'll do some of anything, and you have to battle back. You know, you let the demons come in and you'll enjoy them for a day, and then you'll have to battle back. And I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah.
Then you have to battle back and get yourself back to where you were.
Yeah.
And you're up and down, and you run the risk, really, of when the Holy Ghost comes in and gives you the revelation of Jesus coming of heaven, the revelation of the resurrection being real, you know, the resurrection being real, so that you start to say to yourself, Jesus lives, and the resurrection becomes so believable to you that even when people die in Christ, you start to realize they live. Mm-hmm. And if you will not really let yourself grow in that, you'll do some of anything.
That's right.
And I can sit here and I can give you every step to faith. I remember when I was first coming up with Ron Davis and all of them, and they taught faith teaching and all of them, God bless them wherever they are. They were saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. No doubt in my mind about that, to where my mind can doubt. If they weren't saved, they sure fooled me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they used to talk about, you know, and it's coming around again. John P. Key has this thing out, release. And I remember when someone else was singing about release it. And I remember 36 years ago, during that time, they were talking about the woman who had the issue of blood and how she touched him, how she released her faith. How she released her faith.
Yes.
You know, as if her faith had some power.
Yeah.
And we're back into, you know, I'm listening to a lot of people now, and everybody comes up to me, tells me about how they heard about this, and they taught on faith. And probably all of it's true, and probably all of it's scriptural. You do have to, in the course of time, you know, you have to exercise your faith, or you have to have action to your faith, and so forth, and so on. But the bottom line is your action can't be toward a particular situation. You know, today you have faith for this and this works, but tomorrow you have faith for this, and if it doesn't work, your faith goes out the window. That's not how it works. The one thing I have faith in that never gets undone is the resurrection.
Right. Yes, yes.
You know, some days the Lord will come speedily and answer my prayer. I was in here one day and I was praying about this land in the back, and I could just see people coming up and building on it and doing all kinds of things. I said, Lord, we really got to have this land. And by the time I got from prayer, somebody, the lady who owned the land, tapped on the door. I've been trying to chase her down for 10 years to buy this land.
Yes.
And she said, and she came up and said, and I couldn't get a phone number. I called her. I talked to her. She wasn't going to sell it. She walked through the parking lot and said to me, I came to sell you that land.
Yes.
That was the Lord moving immediately.
Yes.
But the Lord hasn't moved in everything that I wanted to do. Well, you know, we have many, many empty seats, so obviously he hasn't moved in many of the things I want him to do. But my faith is in the resurrection, whether people come or not.
Yes.
If it's based on being able to say, you know, I have faith in God, I'm trusting him for this or trusting him for that in the earth, and if it doesn't happen, then where does your faith go? But if I'm trusting him for in the resurrection, trusting that he's Jesus Christ, then my trust in God is in the part where he says we're going to have houses and lands and friends and relatives and all these things. It's in God. It's not one of these things where on a day-to-day, wherever it happens, and my faith is great. If it doesn't happen, my faith, you know, sinks and I got to be built up again. And I didn't release it right, and I thought wrong, and I doubted, and I didn't pray right, and I didn't fast right, and I this and that and all these things. That when it really comes down to it, then there's no, you're saying is you don't realize that you're saved by grace.
Yes.
And that you did nothing to save you.
Yes.
You just accepted the salvation that God gave.
Yes.
You just trusted that the Lord would save you when you asked him and you believed on Christ. So when we're preaching and teaching, one thing that has to happen is at some point in time, you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to go with God.
Yes.
Somewhere along the line, you're just going to have to decide, I'm going to go with God. If it rains, I'm going to go with God.
Yes.
And if it snows, I'm going to go with God. I'm sick. And if the Lord heals me, I'm going with God. And if the Lord doesn't heal me, I'm going with God. Because there is a healing. It's called eternal. It's called eternal life.
Yes.
For everyone. There is a fix for every situation. And all the things that God does to fix everything in earth is just a band-aid fix. It's temporary.
He
blessed me with a house. I'm so glad he blessed me with it. Bless you with a house. Do all those things. I'm happy about that. But it won't last through eternity. It might last through your lifetime.
Right. Yes.
But it's not going to last. You know, it won't last through eternity. Go to Second Corinthians, the fifth chapter. And I'm almost done. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Actually, chapter 4, but more in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I like 4. We'll start with 4. Really, 4 talks about us having faith, and it starts up about, having the Holy Spirit. I'll start at 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The power of God is seen in Jesus Christ. The glory of God, the will of God, the work of God, the move of God. If you're going to believe in God, then you must see him in Jesus Christ, and you must believe all that Christ has done. The power of God, his great power, which he wrought when he raised him from the dead, all the glory and everything that God would have us know at this point is seen in Jesus Christ. See, the ability to walk through the earth and live free from sin and to do all the miracles that he did. And he says, to see in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have it in these mortal bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. We have all the power and the spirit of God and the move of God. We have it in these mortal bodies, which is when James talks about it one place, he says, but a double-minded man is unstable, you know, in all of his ways, and he talks about our faith. Let him ask in faith.
Yes.
He's talking about faith and trusting in God. Things, yes. When we pray, we have to believe that God is. I can't say, you cannot say that when I pray for a thing, my faith has to be absolute. Because I was reading today, some of the things that we pray for, it's not necessarily that they're not good or whatever, but some of them, at times to times, we're trying, and God wants to see if we're going to hold on. And if you think that God doesn't have to answer your prayer in order for God to be God, think about Moses. He prayed 3 times for God to let him go into the promised land, and God told him no.
No, yes, yeah.
And Moses was great in the earth, and he's greater than me.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not even on the same side of the universe when it comes to, you know, greatness as Moses. And God said no.
No, yeah.
David wanted to build God a house. Why would God not want you to build him a house? And God said no.
No, right. Yes.
And David could have got mad and said, well, if I can't build a house, then I'm not going to buy the stuff.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yes, he did.
Because he knew that God had to have a house. He just understood God didn't want me to do it.
But
it needs to be done. And the list is long.
Yes.
So sometimes when we talk about praying, I'm loving that people go to church and listen to people and God for any reason. Whatever draws you, let it keep drawing you to God.
Yeah, amen, yes.
And if you love hearing seminars and things on faith, then keep going to them.
Yes,
they keep
yes.
you in God. And
yes.
Whatever,
yes.
if you yes. love hearing just seminars on the gifts, you just love hearing about the gifts, wonderful.
Yes.
Keep going. Stay in God.
Yeah.
But ultimately, your faith has to be in the resurrection.
Yes.
That's the one constant. Because God doesn't have to give you the house on the hill for you to serve God.
No.
If he gives it to you, it's because of his grace and his mercy, and because great gifts come. You know, God would bless us in every way. He said, I will hold no good thing from you that walk upright before me.
Yeah.
But if you don't get the house on the hill, you still need to have eternal life.
Yes, yes.
If you don't get the healing that you would love to have, that all of us, I would love to see everybody healed. I would love to see everybody walk in perfect health.
Yes,
but for God's reason and burial, I start to understand it, because God expects us to have faith in him whether we are healthy or not.
Yes,
and much of it, since we have these earthen vessels, he expects us to do some things to take care of ourselves. We can't just be wild and, you know, our bodies we can't be wild about. Our finances we can't be wild about.
Yes.
Our job, whatever we have in earth, we have to.
Yes.
There's some discipline that we have to have before God to show God that we're because we're following God.
Yes.
Even Jesus, when he's walking on the earth and he's in a mortal body, he knows that there's a time, you know, when the Roman soldiers, you know, it's not just when he's on the cross that he goes on to God. There are other times when the Jews wanted to stone him and do different things. He just leaves.
Yes.
And he could have stayed, you know, I'm going to stand here and see if God's going to raise me up. You know, the devil even told him one time, hey, jump off this cliff and God will catch you. And he said, no, I'm not doing that.
Right. Yes.
Because he's mortal.
Yes.
So we have to grow to a point where I don't disagree with anyone who's talking about release your faith, but to release your faith for the blessing you need now, release your faith, you know, get your faith in the mind of, I'm going to be ready when Jesus comes.
That's right.
And get your faith in the mind of, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's saving me from being destroyed forever. Mm-hmm. The resurrection of Jesus Christ breaks Satan, sin, and death's power over us. Mm-hmm. Your faith in the resurrection has to be absolute so that even if you get mad with God, so ain't nobody going to get mad with God. Yes, you do.
Yes,
I have.
Yes, we have. Yep.
And God didn't send a lightning bolt because when he's, you know, he probably would have about persisted, but he was able to persuade me by a move of the Spirit that that's not healthy.
Yes.
And you need to get yourself together, you know, and this, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, I didn't walk out on God because I know God is my only, you know, Jesus is my only Savior.
I know Jesus is my only Savior.
There's a, you know, and he's put up with me and, you know, and, you know, I might follow him mumbling sometime, but I am going to follow him. You know, say, well, hey, I don't follow God mumbling. I just humbly submit. Well, I'm glad. That ain't me. Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and God doesn't matter. Say, are you saying that sometimes you think to yourself, if it wasn't for having eternal life, you'd walk out on God? Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Haven't grown to a point where I love God a lot, but I haven't grown to the point where my love is so great for him that, you know, and most of the time it is, but every now and then, not so much now.
Yeah.
Not so much now. You know, I'm old now, and God, you know, just by reason of age alone, you know, you need to settle down and behave yourself. But, some days you feel like saying, you know, just church work alone. If it wasn't for heaven, you'd walk out on this.
Yes.
You know, church people, if it wasn't for help, if it wasn't for heaven, you'd walk out on them.
Yes.
You know, and that's the whole point.
Yes.
If it wasn't for salvation and for the goodness and grace of God, that's what keeps us until eternal life.
Yes.
His righteousness, his long-suffering, his goodness, his forbearance, that's what brings us to repentance. That's what keeps us.
Yeah.
It's that's the way it is. It's, and if that's the grace of it. It is not true if you say, yourself, I just love God because I love God for the sake of loving God. No, we all love God for the sake of loving God. He brings us to that. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But you have to soon concede, I can't leave God because I am going to live for eternity, and I cannot do it in hell.
Right. Yes.
I'm not going to do it in hell.
Yes, yes. Right. Amen.
You have to come to it.
Yes.
If you really want a lesson in faith, have faith in heaven.
Yes.
And don't worry about it. But you know, I need God for things right now. When you trust in God for heaven, that's when all these other things, houses and land and all these other things, that's when you can ask him for those. You have to first make up your mind, he's my Father, and I can come. Jesus is my mediator. Jesus is my Savior, and I can come in his name.
Yes.
You don't walk up to strangers and ask them to feed you, but you don't mind walking up to your dad.
Yes, that's right.
If you have a hard time and you're really going through, you probably won't, you know, just walk up to people on the street and say, can you loan me $1,000? But you ought to be able to trust it if your dad has it. You know, I can at least ask my dad.
Yeah.
You know, if I can't get it from no place else. And that's the way it is in God. You know, you have to first believe that he is. If you're going to have faith in God, you have to first believe that he is God.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretending to have faith is not the same as having faith.
Yes.
And so I have to every other week get a new seminar on how to, so what's wrong with my prayer? My prayer isn't working. Well, you're not releasing it right.
Yeah.
You're not speaking it into the atmosphere right. And when you pray, you have to pray to God the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, which is true. But you know, I think pretty much anyway you come to God, if you acknowledge Him in your heart, right, the Holy Ghost and search in the heart, you'll get through. You know, if that order ain't there, you'll get through. Someone said, I remember when he was growing up, we used to say, spirit, soul, and body. If you said body, soul, and spirit, that's backwards. Spirit, soul, and body. Hey, you know, soul, body, and spirit. Soul, spirit, and body. Hey.
Yes.
I understand the hierarchy, but God does too.
Yes.
And when I come up with all these reasons why your prayers aren't working, I forget the one that says, but have you believed God enough to stop? You know, have you believed God enough to obey God?
Yes.
Where's that in the faith? Where's that in the faith seminar? Have you put away malice yet?
Yes.
Have you stopped being this and you know, are you still doing that? And, have you forgiven everybody? You got enough faith to forgive everybody yet?
Yes.
You got enough faith in God to, you know, seek peace and ensue it yet? Do you believe God enough to believe that you need to allow the Lord to deliver you from malice and wrath? And do you have that kind of faith yet?
Yes.
Because this is what we see in Christ, because He says in this, when He talks about us and He says, we had, you know, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what we see in Christ when He goes to the cross. Is your faith there?
Yes.
You got enough faith to do that. You have enough faith to trust God that when people do you, when things don't go right, when people might do you wrong or whatever, or when situations just don't work out, do you have enough faith in God to know that, wait, maybe this didn't work out, but I'm going to still be all right because God is going to make it all right? Do you have enough faith in God to go back to God after you feel like, well, this didn't work, and go back and say to the Lord, you know, this didn't work. Do you have enough faith in God yet to say to God from time to time, Lord, I'm disappointed?
Yes.
Because that's how you talk to people you know are real.
Yes.
And you aren't saying, Lord, I'm disappointed, and God should say, well, I'm so sorry I disappointed you. That's not why you're saying, Lord, I'm disappointed. You're saying, Lord, I'm disappointed, and I want you to deliver me so I'm not disappointed.
Right. Yes.
And Lord, you know, I really got kind of angry at you the other day, and I'm not saying that as if you're trying to, if you have to make up for my anger. I'm saying to you, Lord, I really need you to work a work in me because my soul life is not where it should be, because obviously the trial that came that got me angry, you allowed it to come so that it could surface that I'm capable of doing this. And so, you know, what I need you to do. I was preaching on Sunday, and I don't think everybody understood what I was saying. I was telling them on Sunday. One person in particular, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I was saying that, you know, when you really trust in God and you're asking God to lead you, not to temptation, deliver you from evil, you're saying, you know, you want God to bring you out of all these things that would cause you not to be in God or be like Christ or be in God. And I said that one of the things you have to do is you have to stop feuding with people. That's what I said.
Yes.
And I think somebody got mad. So, you know, you talk to me directly. No, I'm talking to everybody. And you're not getting my point.
What?
I'm not rebuking people from feuding with people. Just the opposite. I'm telling you where to go so you don't do that anymore.
Right, yes.
It has nothing to do. Every one of us from time to time have gotten angrier than we should. And the whole point of the message is when He says, deliver me from evil. And the whole point of the message is, go to God so you stop being
like
that.
Yes.
Whether the people, you know, the people could be as wrong as five left shoes, but you want to get to the point where they don't drive, where they don't draw you into temptation or cause you to do things that are wrong.
Right.
You need God to get you to be like Jesus so you can walk off knowing, but as long as everything's all right with me and God, I'm okay. You know, we have far too many people who are still sitting around waiting for, you know, God to avenge them in the earth. Somebody did them wrong. They're just going to see it through to it gets right. And I did this, and it just needs to be set right and whatever. It may never be set right in your lifetime. And God, and if God doesn't set it right, what you want Him to set is you right, so you're all right with God.
Yes, right.
It's the pettiness of it as you grow. And I look at how many people are grown and old and they're petty. In other words, small things that really, as old people would say, don't mount to a hill of beans. Small things that are so insignificant that they really could let go. And they'll say, well, it's the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
When you keep your principle, I want God.
Amen, yes.
I want the deliverance that comes in God. My faith is such in God that I believe that the power of the resurrection carries over so much into my life that for me, anything that's not like God needs to die.
Yes.
And that includes the part of my emotions where they're just overwrought. And I just can't let this go. And I can't let that go. And I can't, in other words, I can't be placated. There's no, settling me, because I have a cause. And I won't let God show me that my cause isn't worth losing heaven over, or even if my cause doesn't cost me heaven. The cause isn't worth the distraction and the feeling of being distraught the melancholy or when you see them you just everything.
Yeah.
It isn't worth all that. What I need to be, and what I was just trying to explain to them Sunday about feuding, what you want God to do is set you free. So they can, if they, you hope they set you free in them. But if they keep doing what they're doing to Jesus, comes, it won't bother you.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
You're going on in God.
Yeah.
That's when you have faith in God. When you ask God, Lord, I need you to come in.
Yes.
And it's not about a car or a house, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That's as far as, that's all you need your faith to do. That's just a simple matter. People who don't have houses and cars and God don't, those are people who just halfway don't come to church and don't do anything. Those are just, those are the kind of blessings that people get saved on Tuesday and Lord bless them with a new house on Friday. But when it comes down to the peace of mind, that my peace I've given to you, he says, and the restoration, this is what I was trying to say Sunday, and the reconciliation that comes, the great peace that comes out of reconciling and not having that burden anymore. That's where you have faith in God. That's where that is. Let me finish this. Always bearing about in the body. So I'm gonna read it. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, he says we're troubled. And why is it that we're troubled on every side and yet not distressed? Because we have God. And my faith in God says, because of my faith in the resurrection, if God can overcome Satan, death, and hell, and resurrect Jesus from a mortal body to an immortal body, and if that resurrection of Jesus Christ, one man, is powerful enough to set me free from the power of sin, which was destroying me throughout all eternity, if he can break that power, what else in my life can he not do?
All right.
He who spared not his own son, but offered him up for us, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
All things. Amen.
So Paul is saying, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. And distressed means you're without help. I always know I have help. Sometimes things can make you angry for a minute. Things can bother you, or things can worry you, or things can come in. Or whatever. I had to get over seeing these gun sale signs in town. Every time I ride down the street, I'm on a good day, and here's the big sign, gun sale. And I had to just come to it where I just said, Lord, you know what? They always keep selling these guns.
I used to think,
Lord, let a lightning storm come or something, just strike and just blow the whole thing up, burn up all the guns and everything. That ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. I had to get to a point where the Lord would say to me, that's all right, I'll get around to them. God would say to the saints in Israel as they were coming through, he'd say, I'm gonna erase the Amalekites from the face of the earth. And he did. But he didn't do it immediately. Why not?
Right.
Because of men. When Saul should have killed every last one of the Amalekites, he did not. So that you find out that all the way up in Esther's time, you got Haman still walking around. When really, if Saul had done what God had told him, there wouldn't have even been that situation. But it took some time. He says, I was reading today, and he was talking about Rehoboam and all those. He told Jeroboam, he said about Jeroboam, he says, Jeroboam's line is going to end. And it did.
Yes.
He told David, he told Solomon. He says the kingdom after you is going to be split in half. Yeah. It didn't have. He says not going to be in your time, but it's going to be in your son's time. In other words, I'm going to get around to it. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
Yep.
Going to take care of it.
Yeah.
Even in the political schemes and things going on right now, when they said, you know, I don't even read them anymore. Mm-hmm. I just say, you know, the Lord's, you know. God's going to get around to it.
Yes.
So wait, you just can't say God's going to get around to everything.
Yes, he is.
All those things that you can't control, he is.
Right.
Now, some things you can control.
Yeah.
Don't quit working and say, well, God's going to feed me. That ain't, you know.
That ain't going to happen.
Because that's where, you know, that's why you're blessed with a good job. God is blessing you. Don't not pay your mortgage and say, well, God's going to take care of it. It's not going to happen. That's, you know, and if you have the Holy Ghost, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't even enter in, because
that's
new.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
He didn't. But for many other things that we have, you know, when you trust in God, this is the whole point behind in 2 Corinthians, in Thessalonians. This is why we don't worry. This is why when we are saddened by people who die who are in Christ. We're sad on one hand, but if you really, really, I know they call everything a home going. They call Whitney Houston's funeral a home going, Aretha's funeral a home going. Well, it depends on where the home is.
That's right.
They went to their home. Yes.
Yeah, you went home. Just
they
came
home.
Is,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so, well, you know, what are you saying, Bishop? I'm going to tell you right now, your eternal home, there's three things that you need to remember about your eternal home. You know what they are? Location, location, location.
Location. Yes.
Just like they say on earth, there are three things about your home and about your eternal home that are really important. Location, location, location,
location, location. Amen.
So he says in this, he says we're troubled on every side, but not in distress. In other words, we're not without help. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And this is a big one because, you know, when you have faith in God, you don't always know. You say, well, I don't know how things are going to work out. Sometimes you don't even know what to think.
Right. Yes.
Lord, should I pray that they get well? Should I pray that they get, you know, saved? And I've learned, too, for a lot of people, I think I just need to start praying their sins are forgiven.
Yes, yeah.
Lord, you know, which way do I go? I don't even know. Lord, what am I going to do now? I have to come in here sometime and pray to the Lord. Lord, are you trying to tell me I need to let this work go? No, what do I need to do? How do I need to go? I'm perplexed. But you know what? I'm not in despair. Despair means you have no hope.
Yes, yes.
If I had no hope, I wouldn't even be calling on God. That's when you start taking the sleeping pills hanging yourself and jumping off cliffs and doing all, you know, all some stupid stuff like that. No hope. That's when you take to drinking, and that's when you start using drugs, and that's when you start losing your mind, and that's when you know, no hope. All of us who have hope in God, we have hope. We might be perplexed. We might not know what's going on, and we might have to settle ourselves down, do like Elijah, sit still for a moment to hear what God has to say of Ernie Davis in the song I like that Ella Smith doesn't like because the lady sings so high. He has a song that says, I'll just sit still.
Yeah.
Until your will is known to me. And sometimes we need to just sit still. You know, I don't mean don't go to work. I'm going to sit on my... No, you just need, you know, for that, you just need to be still for a moment.
Yes.
And even then, when you really have faith in God, you'll say, Lord, I'm just, you know, today when I come to prayer, I came to prayer the other day, and I just, you know, after the weekend and everything, and it was a very good weekend. I really enjoyed God. But you know how the enemy would come and try to fight you over what went on and this and that. And I came in and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I just don't know what to say to you today. I'm just going to sit here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doubting anything, but Lord, I don't even have words right now. And I said, I'm just going to sit here for a minute. And I just need you to just kind of, you know, whatever, just settle me down. And he did.
Yes, he will.
The Lord did. He just comes in. But you gotta have faith in God to talk to God like that.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
And this is, you know, you gotta trust in God to come in. You know, and when you have, you know, your faith in God can be. James says, you know, faith without works is dead. He's not talking about faith that causes you to go out and get a soup line. He's talking about faith that causes you to worship God. It's the faith that causes you to really be faithful in the house of God, faithful to prayer. You know, you Your faith in the resurrection shows up in every little thing that you do. It's the difference between people who come fervently and they show up and they're here and they're this, and the people who come when they feel like it don't, you know, God is so low on their list of, on their priority list that when they don't feel like coming, they don't show up.
That's right.
It's there are times when people can't be in the house of God. You're sick, there's this, you might be on your way to church today and you're not in an accident, but all one got to do is block Lewis Turner and you can't get here.
That's right. Yeah.
Unless you drive all the way back, you turn. If there's an accident between my house and Green Acres, which is about 2,000 feet away, unless you can turn around and get around by the hospital or go all the way down to Mooney and circumvent the whole city, you can't get here. But those things notwithstanding, when your faith is in God, he's not on such a low priority that anything that happens, you decide you can't be here, I'm too tired of this. You'll always have a reason. Yeah. You know what the problem is? The problem is you're not as strong in faith in God as you think you are. Because when you weigh the difference, when you start to consider, if I don't wake up on this side of eternity tomorrow morning, where will I be? Yes. You start to really say to yourself, I need to do better. And this is where the faith comes in for you when you're looking at the resurrection. Because you can look at your new car, and God gave it to you. But when it's dirty, your faith is dirty. You can look at your new house, and when the mortgage shows up, and it's time to pay rent, there's no joy in Mudville. You can look at your health.
Yes.
But on a good day, you forget how bad you felt, and you forget how, in a very good day, you remember in your mind how dangerous it was what you were going through. But right now, it seems far and distant, and you're doing okay.
Yeah.
And today, you might not feel like coming to prayer because we're human and we don't always feel like praying. I know there's some people that I just love to pray. I come out of them. Hopefully I'll get there one day and I do come to prayer. I'm faithful in prayer for the most part. But some days I feel like praying more than I do on others. Different things come, life comes. But you got to, and this is when you really have to press your way for the sake of, hey, look, press. I'll use the word press because some days you have to press. I know I need to come to prayer. And it's not because my bills aren't paid. It's not because I have a need. It's not because of this. It's not because of that. I need to keep myself before God because Jesus is coming. And I can't allow myself this grace that God has given me. He's got me to this point where I know I need to pray and have this communion with Him, even when I'm not begging. And my faith in Christ coming, I can't afford to get out of the habit, the spiritual habit that has been developed in me, so that I come to prayer. My faith in God says to me, it is so important that I stay in prayer and stay before God, because there'll be too many days when I can't come, too many days when the earth steps in, and just by the general routine of doctor's appointments or this or that or travel or vacation for that matter. I'm not down here for prayer, but I got to make sure that I don't just stop coming, being here, because Jesus is coming. And if I should happen not to live till Jesus comes, that's even a greater fear. Because if I go to bed tonight and don't wake up in this mortal body alive, I'm going to face what I'm facing. And there'll be no change. I got to make sure that I have enough faith in the resurrection in God. When your faith is truly in the resurrection, do you see how serious it becomes? So people are always telling folk, how to have faith. How to have faith. And I'm not saying any of them are wrong. You got to read the Bible. You need to pray. You need to have the Holy Ghost come in. Most people like to outline at least 4 or 5 steps to faith. First, your faith has to have a purpose. And your faith has to have an objective. And this and that. And all that's true. My faith does have an objective. Eternal life,
heaven, yes.
And you got to work your faith. You got to You know, and I believe that too. You need to pray. Your faith needs to get you in prayer. Your faith needs to get you in the house of God. Your faith needs to put a running in your feet and a clapping in your hands. Your faith needs to stir you up in God. And your faith needs to do all those things. I'm not knocking any of them.
Yes.
But somewhere along the line, the bottom line of your faith has to be in the resurrection and in Christ's return.
Yes.
Otherwise, nothing else that you can mention that you have faith in will push your worship of God to the height of your priorities. It will be subordinate to your job, your career, your house, your friends, your family, your this, and all of them are valid. I'm not saying y'all not have any of them in your
in your
list of I needs.
Because
we need. But none of those things, and when Peter says, Lord, we have forsaken all, he didn't mean he'd given up his family. He meant, I have put you before everything. And then, when you do that, here comes faith again. You see, I know I can put God before everything because God is a just God and a fair God.
Yeah.
God is not a tyrant.
No.
And God is, I'm not afraid to put God first because God is not going to put me in a situation where I have to sacrifice my wife to being God.
Yeah.
Because being married to my wife is godly.
Yeah.
God is not going to put me in a situation where I have to sacrifice my kids, my children, I can trust God and put God first because God is the one person in the universe, and this is where the Spirit comes in. This is the law. This is what's great about the Spirit. God understands that God understands that I need to take a vacation every year. He knows that.
Yes.
He already knows that. Mm. I can put God first because if I'm sick and can't get here, then God understands that if it's this and that. I can put God. I'm not afraid. You know how people say, "Be careful what you pray for." Not if you're praying to the true God.
That's right. Yes.
Because the Bible says, "If I'm praying to God, be careful for nothing."
Nothing. Yes.
You better watch what you pray for.
Mm-hmm.
You better. I've heard people teach, "Don't pray for faith. Don't pray for patience. You can pray for patience and not pray for patience.
Right.
God's still gonna try and work them in you
because
you need them. Why do I need them? Because you need to wait on God.
Yes, right. Yes."
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
You can ask God anything because when you come before God, if your prayer is wrong, if you're praying before God, God will correct you.
Yeah.
So when will he do that? He'll correct you on the spot.
Yeah.
In a very gentle, caring way, he'll say, you know what? You're coming in here. I'm coming in here. I'm mad with Ellis Smith. And I'm going to get down and tell God, Lord, what's wrong with her? And before it's all over, the Lord is saying to me, you didn't really have to take that like that. That's not all that.
Right. Yes.
And your way of it wasn't right either.
Yeah.
And she's doing the best she can do.
Yeah.
And before it's over, when you talk to God and God is really spoken, when you get up, you're ready to say, Lord, you are right.
Yes.
That's when you get up and go to people and say, you know what? I'm wrong about my portion in this. When you really talk to God, you can say to folk, Whether they ever, I've told people I was wrong before, and they with their arrogant self say, I know you were. I've talked to people who are my peers.
Yes.
And you go to them and say, well, you know, I really probably shouldn't have spoken to you like I did. Yeah, I know you didn't.
Yes.
I know you didn't. That's okay. I accept your apology. Well, where is yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But you know what I know when I walk off? God's done more for me than
he's done for you. Yes.
And I'm in a place in the Spirit that you're not.
Yes.
Because I'm in a place in faith that you're not.
Yes.
I'm trusting in God. I'm making sure I'm going to make it in. Last thing. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The Lord is not going to let me be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to allow me. If I will walk godly and stay in God, he is not going to allow me to be destroyed. I'm not going to live holy, live in God, repent when I need to, obey the Spirit to the best of my ability. I'm not perfect in it, but when the Spirit comes and says do something, if I'm obeying and following God, he is not going to let me be destroyed. He will not let the devil overtake you. He will not let people, I've heard people say, you know, you mess with me, I pray you out of here. You can't do anything to me when I'm obeying God.
You're obeying God, that's right.
And here's the good part.
If I'm obeying God, you're obeying God, you don't want to do anything to me.
That's true.
That's true.
The fact that you desire to do something like that lets me know I'm following God and you're not. Because wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then gentle, and kind, and it works peace. And if that's not where you are, you're not obeying God.
Amen. Yes.
He says in this, let me finish, go down to 13. We have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. In other words, he says, when you got the faith I've got, it's in the Lord Jesus. It's in him that raised up the Lord Jesus and going to raise us up too. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In other words, he says all things work out when God's doing them so that the grace of God can redound, means multiply, keep coming out. It works so that the grace of God is seen, is seen, is seen, is seen. It's heard, is heard. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. We're getting old and we're dying and it's going that way, but in the spirit we're renewed day by day. We are, you know, even whether it be physical or whether it be soulful, some days our outward man is crushed, our soul is crushed, but we're renewed in the spirit. Day by day, as long as we have our faith is in him raising up Jesus from the dead, he can always come and say, but you know there is a resurrection. But you know there is a resurrection. This is not going to be throughout eternity. This life is only so many years, but you're going to be all right. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, our light affliction, which is but a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We go through this in this life, but it's just a moment. And if we can stay with God for this in this moment, don't let our life keep us from God. Don't let, you know, I got enough faith in God that I don't let my life keep me from God. I don't let things keep popping up to keep me from doing what I need to do in God. It has a far more weight than glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things we're working with right now, going through my life, is temporary. It's not going to last forever. The 50 million dollar, you know, 100,000 square foot house, is temporary. The people who have Slim and all those people who have, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, you know what? Temporary. You bought nothing into this life, and you're not going to take anything out.
That's right.
Everybody in the graveyard has the same amount of money. Yes, they do. They're all equal. But the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things, and he goes on way down here, says in 7, for we walk, 1 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
Everybody stand. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm encouraging tonight everybody who likes to bring up all the people who have all the steps to faith. I don't have a problem with that. Keep listening to it until you get it. You do have to incorporate your faith in, and you do have to believe.
Yes.
You do have to move in faith and stretch out. But you know what? But the concern is that it's not stretching out like you think. You want to stretch out in faith? Stretch out in prayer.
Prayer, yes.
You really want to show God your faith? Increase your time in prayer. Increase your time in the Word of God. Increase your time in service.
Yes.
Faithful people come to church.
Church, yes.
You can't get around it. Faithful people come. Find a body to worship with, because that's the way of God.
Yes.
That's the way it is. Two is better than one.
That's right.
Yeah. How? You know, in the script, there's so many scriptures. One of them says, where two or three are gathered in my name, they'll be in the midst. I read nowhere where the one by themselves
Yes.
get that. if any two of you can agree concerning anything.
Yes.
I need someone that when I say the Lord's going to come back, I need somebody else who says,
yes, he is.
I need somebody else when I say God is a good God. I need somebody else to say, yes, he is. I need somebody else to say heaven is real. Yes, it is. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Otherwise, you're out there by yourself. You start to wonder yourself. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your great grace. Thank you for your loving kindness, O Lord, for the Lord, your great God. Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, for everyone, Lord, who's sick, especially those who've been sick for a long time, Lord, forgive all their sins.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, wash them in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Forgive
Lord, let the blood stand for them, Lord. Forgive them for all of their sins, O God. Mm-hmm. Lord, give them a mind, Lord, to repent of anything they need to repent of. And then, Lord, heal them.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, as you did for the man who was let down through the roof. The first thing you said, Lord, was thy sins are forgiven thee.
Yes.
And Lord, I will have everyone tonight, Lord, who's sick in any way, Lord, to know that you are a forgiver of sins.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, that you are healed.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray tonight you to wash them and cleanse them. Come to me as let me pray for you in these sons. Lord, you wash them and heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, touch him in the name of Jesus and make him all way whole. And
yes,
in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this, whatever it is, and I command you to be loosed. Lord, loose him in Jesus' name.
Yes.
From this cough and from this hack, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, by thy great power, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Set free. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the honor, we'll give you all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people of God say amen.
Amen. Amen.